Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading MRT for Friday, April 14th, 2023. NWS drought conditions return to Midland. No rainfall, just windy, dry weather is the story for 2023 by Stuart Doreen. The rainfall this calendar year has been very little hit and a lot of miss. The National Weather Service reported Thursday that 0.42 inches of rain since January 1st has been a product of weather systems blowing across the country with paths too far to the north of the Permian Basin and Midland International Airport. From the west, it has been nothing but dry air, Scott Liebauer, meteorologist, told the Reporter Telegram. Liebauer added, the chances of rainfall in the seven-day forecast aren't good, probably isolated to the southwest of Midland, while the central plains and upper Midwest of the country have been hit by much harder. Those systems have delivered just dry air and higher winds. The result is a start of the year that through Wednesday was 1.8 inches below normal through April the 12th. Sadly, the National Weather Service is calling for more dry, gusty conditions Thursday night through Saturday. NWS on its website called for gusts as high as 40 miles per hour Thursday night and sustained winds topping out at 30 miles per hour on Friday, gusts as high as 35 miles per hour. While the late summer and early fall was relatively wet for Midland, the windy and dry start to 2023 has brought drought conditions back to the region. The U.S. Drought Monitor shows much of Midland County to be in severe drought and areas to the north and northeast to be in worse shape. Coincidentally, dry starts of the year are nothing new in Midland. Up to 2011, the driest start, January through April, happened in 1986. That year, 0.44 inches fell through the first 4 months. Coincidentally, 1986 was the wettest year on record in Midland, with 32.13 inches. Going back to 2011, the National Weather Service has reported that less than 0.2 inches in Midland and 0.11 in 2011 and 0.16 in 2018 through the first 4 months. The NWS also reported that less than 10 inches of rain has fallen in two of the last 3 years, 7.86 inches in 2020 and 9.40 inches in 2022. The Climate Prediction Center report for May through July shows for a 50-60% chance of above average temperatures. Rainfall during that period is expected to be normal. Latest gas hike price impacts region. Latest gas price hike impacts region. By Ben Schaefer. The average gas price in Midland jumped 12 cents in the last week, according to AAA Texas. The increase to $3.38 was higher than the state average, 10 cents, but lower than the most metropolitan areas around West Texas. AAA Texas reported the following increases across the region: 11 cents in Amarillo, 15 cents in Odessa and Lubbock, 17 cents in Abilene, 19 cents in El Paso, and a state-leading 21 cents in San Angelo. Crude oil prices have increased following the news of an oil production cut from OPEC, AAA Texas spokesperson Daniel M. Brewster said in the weekly report. Midland's average is still higher than the statewide average at $3.32 and is the second highest in the region and the fifth highest across the state. AAA Texas reported the average in Midland, $3.38, trails El Paso, a state-leading $3.57. Other averages included $3.36 in Odessa, $3.30 in Abilene, $3.22 in Amarillo, $3.20 in San Angelo, and $3.19 in Lubbock. The lowest average across the state is $3.16 in Tyler. The price in Midland is still 41 cents less than 1 year ago. The state average is 37 cents lower during the same time. Regional prices: Lubbock, $3.19, San Angelo, $3.20, Abilene, $3.30, Amarillo, $3.22, Odessa, $3.36, Midland, $3.38, El Paso, $3.57. Source: AAA Texas. Cheapest gas in Midland, Murphy, USA, South Midland, $3.12, or Sam's Club, $3.12. The source, TexasGasPrices.com. Animal services closed due to animal illness. The City of Midland Animal Services will be closed to the public until further notice due to an increase in symptomatic animals showing signs of an illness, according to city officials. Animal Services has tested all animals that are symptomatic and will start treatment and disinfecting pending the lab results. We will notify the public when we plan to resume normal business hours, the city reported. While we are closed, staff will be deep cleaning and disinfecting the shelter to eradicate the highly contagious disease. How can you help? If you are needing to surrender your dog, please reach out to rescues and post on social media platforms the need to rehome your dog. The city recommends that Midlanders always make sure their pets stay up to date on vaccinations annually and check with their local veterinarians to see what vaccines are necessary to protect pets. Midland Animal Services is still available via phone and appointment from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Cat intake and deceased animal drop-offs will still be available via appointment only. We anticipate reopening Saturday for adoptions, but closed to take to intake at least until Tuesday, the city reported. We do anticipate holding rescue runners on Saturday. Synergy to expand into entertainment complex by Morgan Taylor Thomas. The Synergy Entertainment Complex, located at 1917 Liberty Drive in Midland, will be expanding its current 11-screen cinema. Being added to the center will be an additional 27,000 square feet packed with 18 bowling lanes, 4 digital projection, axe-throwing bays, 3 escape rooms, and a few virtual reality attractions. As of now, the add-ons are set to be completed by August 2024. The news of the expansion comes after the Midland City Council has approved millions of dollars in incentives and tax breaks to a developer to put in an entertainment complex in Northwest Midland near the intersection of State Highway 191 and State Highway 158. Unified Track Meet. A highlight from the United Track Meet, which featured Abel Junior High, Alamo Junior High, Goddard Junior High, San Jacinto Junior High, and Bynum School. The meet took place at Midland Memorial Stadium last week. See more coverage at MRT.com and inside the weekend edition. Photo courtesy of Midland ISD. Fast Facts, Fix West Texas Annual 5K by Morgan Taylor Thomas. WHO, Fix West Texas, a nonprofit focused on the health and well-being of stray animals in the area, sprung into action in 2020. Since then, the crew has held numerous fundraising, spay and neutering, and community events through the region. Run by volunteers, Fix West Texas has helped thousands of animals find shelter, forever homes, and has become a proud staple of the Midland community by decreasing the number of euthanized pets in local shelters. What? The annual Who Let the Dogs Out 5K stands as one of Fix West Texas's main fundraisers throughout the year. Community members of all ages are invited out with their furry friends to walk, jog, or run the 3.1-mile distance. This year, water, snacks, and an array of vendors will be on site for a full day of animal loving, fun, and education. When? 9 a.m. Saturday. Where? 3600 North Garfield Street, Midland College, Allison Fine Arts Building. How? Register at fixwesttexas.com. OPD Searching for Man in Connection with Shooting by Mercedes Cordero. The Odessa Police Department is searching for a 26-year-old suspect who may be involved in the shooting. OPD reported that around 8 p.m. Monday, a 19-year-old was shot in the 300 block of Patterson and transported to a local hospital with serious bodily injury. Demontavion Fonte Rogers is being investigated for his role in the shooting, according to OPD. Rogers may be in a maroon early model SUV, possibly a Jeep Cherokee. Rogers is also wanted out in Midland County on warrants for grand jury indictment, original offense of assault of a pregnant woman, a third-degree felony. He is also wanted for evading in a motor vehicle a third-degree felony, possession of a controlled substance, a third-degree felony, and possession of marijuana. Additional charges are pending. Anyone with information about Rogers' whereabouts is encouraged to contact OPD at 432-333-3641 or Odessa Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS. Woman charged in crash that left one injured by Ben Schaefer. A 46-year-old woman was charged with intoxication assault with a vehicle on April 9th, according to court documents. Department of Public Safety troopers responded to a two-vehicle crash on South Loop 250 just north of Interstate 20. Shannon Snodgrass was the driver of the vehicle responsible for the crash, according to an arrest affidavit. The other motorist was transported to Midland Memorial Hospital because of serious bodily injury sustained during the accident, according to the affidavit. The victim of the accident suffered upper body injuries and a brain bleed, the affidavit state, and was admitted to Midland Memorial Hospital. A trooper spoke to Snodgrass in her car, where he could detect the odor of alcohol on her breath and her person. The officer reported in an affidavit that Snodgrass was slurring her words and had glassy eyes. Snodgrass consented to have her blood drawn, and she was medically cleared for jail before being transported to the Midland County Detention Center. Business and oil. Oil cuts will put pressure on markets, OPEC data, by Grant Smith. Oil supply cuts agreed by OPEC plus nations last week are putting global markets on track for a hefty supply deficit that will widen as the year progresses, the latest data from the group indicate. World markets may be undersupplied by about 2 million barrels a day in the fourth quarter as a result of cutbacks announced by Saudi Arabia and its partners, according to figures in a report from the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries. RIDA and its partners shocked crude traders and sent prices rallying with the supply reductions announced on April 2nd. OPEC officials said the move was necessary to deter speculators from making unwarranted wagers against oil, but the International Energy Agency, which advises consuming nations, called the decision a bad surprise. Oil futures have climbed to $87 a barrel in London since the cuts were revealed. That has revived fears over inflation and global economic growth, while also shoring up revenues for the 23 members of the OPEC Plus coalition. Some forecasters think the tighter outlook could herald the return of $100 oil. The report on Thursday from OPEC's Vienna-based research department provides some justification for the curbs, which should whittle down the supply surplus projected for this quarter. Oil inventories are above their five-year average, and current output from OPEC's 13 members is about 300,000 barrels a day, more than needed from April through June, at 28.8 million barrels a day. But in the second half of the year, world markets stand to tighten considerably. OPEC already expected a supply deficit to emerge over the summer, and the newly unveiled cuts will make the shortfall even more pronounced. While OPEC Plus described the cutbacks as precautionary measure aimed at supporting the stability of the market, the group continues to forecast a substantial jump in global oil demand this year. Consumption will climb by 2.3 million barrels a day, surpassing pre-pandemic levels to reach a record 101.89 million a day, it projects. In practice, OPEC's output reductions are expected to be smaller than advertised, as some members are already pumping below their target levels. But even if only the group's four Gulf states were to implement the deal, OPEC output should drop to about 28 million barrels a day, roughly 1.6 million a day less, the organization thinks, will be needed in the third quarter, and at least 2 million less is required in the fourth. Demand for the group's crude is projected to reach 30.3 million barrels a day in the last 3 months of the year, according to the report. The shortfall could be tempered considerably because of Russia, a key member of the wider OPEC Plus coalition, which is separately slashing production in response to sanctions over the war in Ukraine. OPEC's calculations assume that Russian supplies will slump 750,000 barrels a day on average this year and suffer a sharp plunge this quarter. That's a much larger drop than the 500,000 barrel a day reduction recently pledged by Moscow. Russian exports have proved stubbornly resilient despite promises to punch back against international censure over the invasion. Through a slowdown in the latest shipping data suggests sanctions may be starting to bite. The OPEC Plus alliance is scheduled to review output policy for the second half of the year at a meeting in early June. ConocoPhillips CEO anticipates more shale deals by Mitchell Furman and Alex Steele, Bloomberg. Chief Executive Officer Ryan Lance is predicting more shale mergers and acquisitions amid a dearth of investment in the industry, but his company won't take part unless a highly compelling deal is on the table. "We don't have to do anything," Lance said Wednesday in a Bloomberg TV interview. "In fact, the hurdle is quite large for us. It's really tough to transact at this point in the cycle with the commodity price the way it is. More consolidation in the shale sector could potentially extend the life of drilling acreage in the oil-rich Permian Basin of West Texas and New Mexico, giving producers the scale to boost output." Lance and other shale bosses in recent months have said the best land to drill in the Permian Basin is likely to run out by the end of the decade. While some companies are drilling second and third-tier acreage, "Fortunately, the depth and duration of our portfolio, we've not gotten to that point," Lance said. Annalise Stitzel Lee, 23, of Midland, passed away on Sunday, the 9th of April, 2023. The family will receive guests from 6 o'clock p.m. to 8 p.m. Friday, April 14th, 2023, at the branch at NPW. Funeral service will be at 2 p.m. Saturday, April 15, 2023, at Providence Presbyterian Church, PCA. Interment will follow at Serenity Memorial Garden Cemetery. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Carol Vineyard Warren, 86, passed away peacefully on March 30, 2023. A memorial service is scheduled for Monday, April 17, 2023, at 3 p.m. at First Presbyterian Church of Midland, followed by a reception at the Petroleum Club of Midland from 4 o'clock to 5:30 p.m. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to Young Life of Midland, Midland Humane Coalition, or First Presbyterian Church of Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. David Nelson Grimes of Midland passed away at home on Good Friday, April 7, 2023. Visitation will be from 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. Thursday, April 13, 2023, at the branch at MPW, and memorial service will be at First Presbyterian Church Midland, Friday, April 14, 2023, at 2 p.m., with Pastor Steve Shore officiating. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com.
This is Reed, and this is the Odessa American for Friday, April 14, 2023. Fed agency too big for britches, PBPA says. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service would crimp energy production. Alarmed that proposed new regulations at the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service would put a damper on oil and natural gas production, the Permian Basin Petroleum Association says the agency should not expand the Endangered Species Act to allow the direct and indirect regulation of species that are not currently endangered but might become so in the future. The PBPA, five ranchers associations, and the state of Texas have also just filed a lawsuit against the Biden administration over the FWS's listing of the northern population of the lesser prairie chicken as threatened and the southern population of the species as endangered. In a letter sent Monday to the FWS in Leesburg, Pike Falls Church, Virginia, the PBPA was joined by the Western Energy Alliance, Petroleum Alliance of Oklahoma, and Petroleum Association of Wyoming, in protesting the expansion of endangered species regulations. Quote, we greatly support the stated intentions of the offered revisions to clarify the authority of the service to implement the number of varying conservation measures that have been developed over the years, end quote. PBPA President Ben Shepherd said. Quote, however, we believe the offered revisions go beyond the authority of the service as determined by Congress and in several areas create more concern than clarity. Without a listing under the ESA, direct and indirect regulation of unlisted species is beyond the legal authority of the Fish and Wildlife Service, end quote, Shepherd said. Quote, further, these types of expansion of federal policy with regard to species that are clearly under state authority create unnecessary costs and inefficiencies in implementing conservation and potential disincentives for voluntary participation on private lands. Quote, while certain proposed changes could reduce the costs and time incurred in the implementation of conservation measures, others are highly likely to result in ambiguity, lack of transparency, and additional cost, and ultimately trigger the need for legal action to definitively establish authority and intent, end quote. Shepherd said the PBPA and the other organizations oppose the FWS's combining of post-listing conservation efforts, such as safe harbor agreements, with pre-listing conservation efforts, such as candidate conservation agreements with assurances, quote, into one-size-fits-all agreements. We believe the proposed language to do so undermines the service's stated intent to simplify the process to encourage conservation, end quote, he said. Calling the proposals, quote, a drastic change, end quote, Shepherd said they would encourage the conservation of fish and wildlife before the species become depleted, to the point that they require listing. Quote, this equates to convicting someone of a crime before it is committed, and it is well outside the bounds of the service's legal authority, end quote, he said. Quote, the member companies of the organizations represented in this letter have proved themselves to be trustworthy stewards of the land and supporters of effective conservation efforts. We have compiled a record of accomplishment and partnership of which we are very proud. For example, over $65 million has been spent by industry participants and beneficial conservation practices have been implemented to conserve the lesser prairie chicken across its range of over 6 million acres. An additional 40 oil and gas companies are enrolled in the New Mexico Candidate Conservation Agreement, with total enrollment including the New Mexico State Land Office of more than 2 million acres, end quote. Texas Independent Producers and Royalty Owners Association President Ed Longenecker said from Austin that his organization strongly supports the PBPA's lawsuit. Quote, the U.S. oil and natural gas industry has been heavily engaged in conservation efforts and has contributed tens of millions of dollars to protect the habitat of the lesser prairie chicken, end quote. Longenecker said, quote, thanks to this ongoing commitment, the population of this species has increased, not contracted. Quote, unfortunately, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has decided to ignore these efforts and tangible results in order to advance an agenda that will have a detrimental effect on the oil and natural gas industry and our nation's energy security. We applaud PBPA and the other organizations for filing this lawsuit and look forward to supporting this legal challenge, end quote. Landgraf's bill boosting Odessa College advances. Austin. Legislation co-authored by State Representative Brooks Landgraf, Republican Odessa, to reform the community college finance system to provide a funding boost to Odessa College passed out of the Texas House of Representatives on Wednesday. Quote, community colleges are paramount to preparing and educating the Texas workforce, end quote, Landgraf said. Quote, rural and community colleges like Odessa College have long struggled to compete for state funding with colleges located in more populated communities. That problem is solved by HB 8, end quote. In 2021, the legislature created the Texas Commission on Community College Finance and charged it with making recommendations to the 88th legislature about state funding formulas and funding levels for the state's 50 public community colleges. The commission issued its recommendations in November 2022, which are reflected in HB 8. The bill makes historic changes in the community college finance system to distribute funding on measurable outcomes of their students and provide a guaranteed yield level of funding to help rural colleges. HB8 also supports career and technical education programs not currently funded under the current model and increases college capacity to meet workforce needs. Quote, Odessa College does so much good for our community and does more to prepare the next generation of energy workers than any other college in the state, end quote, Landgraf said in a news release. Quote, HB8 could increase state funding for Odessa College by more than 50%. They've done so much with so little state support compared to other community colleges, so I cannot wait to see what Odessa College is able to do with the additional resources provided by HB8, end quote. HB8 passed out of the Texas House of Representatives by a vote of 146-1 on Wednesday. The bill will now head to the Senate for consideration. If passed by the full Senate prior to the end of the legislative session, HB8 will go to Governor Abbott's desk to be signed into law. Landgraf and the other members of the Texas legislature convened at the Texas Capitol building for the 88th Texas legislative session on January 10, 2023. Members of the Texas House and Texas Senate meet for a 180-day regular session beginning the second Tuesday in January every odd-numbered year to vote on legislation and pass a balanced state budget. UTPB eyes adding tutoring to Residence Hall. University of Texas Permian Basin is looking at adding programming to its Residence Hall that would help first-year students make the transition from high school to college easier. Quote, we're looking forward to bringing some tutoring services to the residence halls. We're looking at some student success, academic planning programs, and really targeting first-year students because we know that the transition from high school to college, no matter where you are, is tough, end quote. Director of Housing Lynn Krausen said. She added that students get a lot of help from the Student Success Center and Dean of Student Success, Michael Frawley, has a lot of good things happening there. Quote, one of the things we want to do next year is really partner with them and think about ways that we can bring some of that stuff here, because in an ideal universe, students would always be going there. But I think sometimes for them to really take advantage of it, we need to go where the students are, end quote, Krausen said. Quote, we're in the initial planning stages of what that might look like, end quote. The idea is to make it super convenient to find resources. Sometimes universities rely on students to find all the things they need. Krausen said they are thinking about reaching out to students who haven't taken advantage of available help and looking at how to catch them before it's too late. Quote, how can we intervene that very first semester before things have progressed and students are discouraged? We're really looking at targeting before midterms and that first semester. So the first 6 weeks, making sure students know about the Student Success Center, bringing some tutoring to the residence halls, making sure that we're reemphasizing the things that they're already getting, end quote. Making sure they're going to office hours, going to class, and offering a little bit of encouragement, Krausen said. In the past 10 years, she said, universities have begun to think about the achievement gaps and how various campus groups can help. Quote, different people have different connections with students and different abilities to help. So if you have a student that is in a certain major, they've got their advisor and they've got their professors. But the idea behind adding the residence halls to it is if that's an on-campus student who's living in the residence halls, then that's just an extra safety net around that student, end quote. Krausen said. Quote, the expectation isn't that people who work in the residence halls are able to solve all of your problems, but it's sort of a stopgap of, oh, we see that you're struggling with this, or you've identified that you're having trouble in this class. Let's see if we can get you connected in a way that is meaningful, end quote, she added. Another thing that may be coming is learning communities. Learning communities are groups of students who share interests, classes, or majors. On the academic part, it would make connecting on group projects and assignments easier. Quote, we haven't really dived very deep into it because we've just started looking at it. It takes at least an academic year to plan something like that because there's a lot of campus stakeholders that are a part of that, end quote, Krausen said. Krausen doesn't anticipate this will be ready to go until potentially fall of 2024 or 2025. Quote, these things take a long time to plan, but I think that this building, the residence dining hall, is really well set up for that. There's a lot of really great organic meeting space, and it's central to campus, I think that the administration on campus is really receptive to new program ideas that might be helpful to UTPB students," end quote, Krausen said. UTPB can house 1,100 students on campus, and there are 310 bed spaces specifically reserved for freshmen or first-year students. The three-story residence dining hall is the newest building, having opened about 7 years ago. It includes both dorm rooms and a dining hall. The building encloses 94,473 square feet of residence hall space, and a two-story dining hall that has 14,772 square feet. Quote, "I would say that we're between 60 and 70% occupancy. I think during COVID, a lot of students went home or moved off campus. I know Dr. Becky Spurlock, Senior Vice President for Student Affairs and Enrollment Management, worked with the housing director to release people from their housing contracts, and so it's in line, I think, with a lot of housing programs are seeing recovering from the COVID period and everyone returning to in person," end quote, Krausen said. Freshmen aren't required to live on campus. Quote, "There are a good number of students that are local that live on campus. We also have a good number of our student athletes living on campus," end quote, she said. "About 17% of the current on-campus population is local. There is a small number of faculty and staff that live on campus in one of the older apartment pods." Quote, "I know that sometimes when we are receiving faculty and staff who are moving here from out of town, the university tries to provide some housing just to have a buffer for them as they're looking for a place to live," end quote, Krausen said. "There are some that also decided to stay living on campus." Quote, "I think that having a vibrant on-campus population really helps the university feel like a community. When there's a lot of activities happening, when there are students around after 5 o'clock, 5:30, when the faculty and staff are gone, I think that really helps it feel like a more traditional university for sure," end quote, Krausen said. Midland Health appoints new president and CEO. Midland Health has appointed Stephen Bowerman as president and chief executive officer. Bowerman fills the vacancy left by Russell Myers as he transitions to a developmental role for the Midland Memorial Foundation, focusing on completion of the Permian Basin Behavioral Health Center and other developmental projects. Quote, "The board is grateful for the 20 years of service Myers has dedicated to Midland Health and our community," end quote, said Devin Alsop, chairperson of the Board of Trustees. Quote, "Stephen Bowerman is well prepared to advance the mission of leading healthcare for Greater Midland," end quote. Bowerman joined Midland Health in 2009 as vice president, chief financial officer. His most recent role was president and chief operating officer. Bowerman has 24 years of experience in healthcare and is a native West Texan, born and raised in Kermit. He attended West Texas A&M University, graduating with a bachelor's degree in business administration in 1999. Bowerman received his master's degree in business administration from Texas Tech University in 2012. Quote, "I am thrilled to have the opportunity to continue to work alongside the great staff and physicians of Midland Health," end quote, said Bowerman. Quote, "This is home for me, and I will continue to lead this organization towards advancing health care in Midland. With tremendous community support and an engaged board, Midland Health is a special organization, and I am humbled to serve as the president and chief executive officer," end quote. Bowerman and his wife of 21 years, Monica, moved to Midland in 1999, beginning his career at Midland Medical Center Hospital in Odessa. In 2006, he joined Odessa Regional Hospital and assisted in the acquisition and consolidation of Alliance Hospital to form what is now Odessa Regional Medical Center. Stephen and Monica have two children. Dylan is a freshman at Texas Tech University, and Jack is a freshman at Legacy Freshman High School. Save lives during National Donate Life Month. More than 10,000 Texans are waiting for a life-saving transplant, a press release from the Southwest Transplant Alliance detailed. April is National Donate Life Month, a time dedicated to honoring those impacted by donation, sharing education, and inspiring Midland and Odessa residents to consider their decision to be a donor. SDA is a nonprofit organ procurement organization serving the Midland-Odessa area. A recent survey conducted within SDA's 89-county service area found that 90% of adults support organ donation, including 87% of unregistered donors. When asked if the decision were up to them, 80% of respondents would be likely to say yes to donation on behalf of a family member. Personal relationships and trust are key drivers for organ donation support and advocacy. Undergraduate Research Day Set. UT Permian Basin's Undergraduate Research Day is today, Friday, April 14th, in the Library Lobby and Library Lecture Hall. Several UTPB students will come together to present their research projects to their peers, faculty, and community members. This year, projects include everything from 3D printing to ALS disease models and even doll making. Quote, I encourage all students to get involved with research if they are serious about their education. Students can learn from reading about research in a textbook, hearing professors talk about it, or they can actually do it. If a student feels like they are somehow not qualified to do research, I want to empower and encourage them that they are qualified and their research topic can be anything from popular culture to traditional academic subjects. End quote. Rebecca Babcock, Director of Undergraduate Research at UTPB, said in a news release. Students interested in getting involved with undergraduate research can email Babcock and fellow UTPB undergraduate research on social media. FOI attorney questions council action. An Austin attorney who specializes in government accountability and transparency and volunteers with the Freedom of Information Foundation believes the Odessa City Council violated the law when they unanimously voted to make interim city attorney Dan Jones the city attorney Tuesday night. According to Tuesday night's agenda, item 11 was, quote, discuss and consider posting the city attorney's job position using T2 professional consulting, end quote. Based on that wording, the council should not have voted to appoint Jones to his position, said Bill Alshire. Quote, I would say that was not an adequate meeting notice for the public, to put the public on notice that they were actually going to fill the position at that meeting, as opposed to simply post it for purposes of accepting applications, end quote, Aylshire said. Quote, by violating the required notice, that would make any action that they took subject to challenge in an Open Meetings Act lawsuit to have a court mind declare the action they took was in violation of the act and therefore void, end quote. Alshire said he found it, quote, ironic, end quote. The motion revolved around the appointment of the city attorney. Quote, it sounds like they need a good city attorney. Even as interim city attorney, the attorney would be obliged to let his client know if they're about to violate the Open Meetings Act, end quote, Alshire said. Quote, I don't see any ambiguity in the wording of the agenda item. It was to be posted and use a particular kind of advertising, this T2 professional services approach. To solicit applications is not the same thing as actually filling the position. They did not post a fair description of the action they took, end quote. After Odessa Mayor Javier Jovan read item 11, Councilmember Denise Swanner responded, quote, yeah, I would like to actually just make a motion to fill that position with Dan Jones. He's done an excellent job. I don't see that there's any reason to go through T2 professional consultant when he's already doing a good job with this, and I don't believe that we need to search. End quote. Councilmember Chris Haney seconded the motion, and Councilmember Mark Mata concurred, saying the city shouldn't be spending money that didn't need to be spent. Councilmember Steve Thompson said Jones deserved the jobs because he's performed well since he was named interim city attorney December 13th, the night his predecessor, Natasha Brooks, was fired. Councilmember Gilbert Vasquez also expressed a desire to appoint Jones to the position after asking a few questions about Jones' background, and Greg Connell said he was, quote, comfortable, end quote, with the motion as well. After voting on the matter, Jovan remarked he was looking forward to the, quote, op-ed, quote, end quote, in the next day's paper, to which Jones responded, quote, oh, that'd be fun. That'd be good. I like to make the paper, end quote. The Odessa American sent an email to all council members, Jovan, Jones, and interim city manager Agapito Bernal, seeking comment on Elshire's opinion Thursday afternoon. Quote, oh, I'm sure the theme of the story has already been decided. Have at it, end quote, Mata responded via email. Thompson said he recalls the council agreeing it would save the city money not to post the position. Quote, so there was a discussion about posting it with T2, is my thought. We decided not to do that and just pull off the interim tag, and I don't see what's wrong with that, end quote, Thompson said. Quote, that's just my opinion. That's about what you pay for. I'm not an attorney. I think you're making a big to-do about nothing, but I understand that's your job, end quote. No one else responded. The Odessa American reported last December that although Jones had routinely, quote, exceeded expectations, end quote, on his annual review in recent years, he'd been told his job was in jeopardy in late 2021 after he was sanctioned by an Ector County District Court judge and, quote, exposed, end quote, the city to legal action on other instances. Jones, who obtained his law degree from the University of Mississippi School of Law, was hired as a senior assistant attorney in early 2019. Prior to that, he spent 2.5 years as a defense and personal injury attorney in Jackson, Mississippi, 5 years as the district attorney in Mendenhall, Mississippi, and 10 years in private practice in Mendenhall. In that role, he acted as the municipal attorney for two towns, the juvenile public defender and school board attorney. According to Ector County court records, Jones was representing the city of Odessa in a car accident lawsuit last year when Judge James Rush of the 244th District Court agreed to sanction Jones on the request of the plaintiff's attorneys. Rush found that Jones filed a frivolous motion, signed pleadings that were, quote, groundless and brought in bad faith, end quote, and contained unsupportable factual and legal allegations, and he filed a motion, quote, for the purpose of harassment and interposed for the improper purpose of causing needless increase in the cost of litigation, end quote. The judge ordered the city to pay the plaintiff's attorney for the more than 23 hours she spent on her motion for sanctions at a cost of $300 an hour. The city was ordered to pay $5,000, and Jones was ordered to pay $2,050. On October 22, 2021, Brooks issued Jones a written warning, warning him in bold that his job was in jeopardy. According to the warning, Brooks told Jones he'd been told by her not to appear in Rush's courtroom for the hearing to discuss whether he and the city should be sanctioned, end quote, as a result of your appearance, end quote, the city and Jones were sanctioned. Brooks also noted that on September 24, 2021, he disobeyed her instructions and continued to assign work to a newly promoted employee one day. She noted his insubordinate behavior had been addressed just one day earlier, and he'd assured her it wouldn't happen again. She also wrote Jones had been told, quote, numerous, end quote, times not to work on memorandums of understanding, but continued to do so. Brooks wrote one of those MOUs came to her attention, and it had, quote, little of professional value, end quote. Quote, I determined that it provided inadequate protections for the city of Odessa and was forced to intervene, end quote, Brooks wrote. 4 days later, Brooks said Jones overheard a conversation between her and another attorney concerning a client communication. Quote, later, in response to a question from a city council member, you responded on behalf of the department with incomplete and inaccurate information, despite having no personal involvement or direct knowledge of the facts, end quote. As a result, Brooks wrote, quote, your lapse has exposed the city to legal action, created doubts about the legal department's professionalism and competency, and damaged the professional reputation of a colleague, end quote. Lastly, Brooks wrote Jones had repeatedly made comments of an, quote, inappropriate, end quote, nature to others in the workplace and failed to make changes despite being challenged about it. Jones responded to the written warning with the following message, quote, I've recently had a lapse in judgment. I apologize for my failures, end quote. Rocket Man. Metcalf to perform an Elton John tribute at Awareness Concert. For the past 13 years, the Aphasia Center of West Texas has worked to help bring awareness of the life-changing condition with its annual free concert. This year, the Aphasia Center of West Texas will continue its tradition of tribute concerts with Kenny Metcalf performing as Elton John. The concert is scheduled for 7:30 p.m. May 5th at the Midland County Horseshoe Amphitheater. While guests are welcome to attend with free admission on the lawn, they can also sponsor tables and receive reserved seating, valet parking, a catered dinner, a private host bar, and more, with proceeds going to the Aphasia Center of West Texas. Quote, we're very excited, end quote, Aphasia Center of West Texas Executive Director Kitty Benek said. Quote, things are going very well. We're experiencing record sales for the event, so I encourage people, if they're interested, in buying a table and sponsoring. People can always come for free, and they don't need a ticket or anything if they just want to come to the free concert, end quote. The event raises awareness and funds for the Aphasia Center of West Texas, which is this region's primary resource for individuals and families coping with the loss of language typically occurring after a stroke. Those who are interested in sponsoring a table can do so at tinyurl.com/MR6D679B. With an illustrious career that spans six decades, Elton John has sold more than 300 million records worldwide and topped charts in the music industry with hits such as Rocket Man, Crocodile Rock, and Can You Feel the Love Tonight? Metcalf has been joined on stage and on television by John's original producer and lead guitarist Caleb Quay. Metcalf has earned acclaim for his tribute, which includes his live national television performances on AXS TV's The World's Greatest Tribute Bands. Quote, Kenny Metcalf, I have to give a shout-out to Lisa Grissom, end quote, Ben X said. Quote, she's produced our concerts since we started them in 2010, and she's never done wrong. I've never seen Kenny Metcalf, but I can say that Lisa has always delivered a phenomenal performance, and I just believe he's going to be great. He's modeled himself off some of the earlier Elton John of the 70s, but he will be performing some of the songs from the 80s as well, end quote. Believe it or not, the Aphasia Center of West Texas Awareness Concerts originally began as a bike ride. It got started because of an author, Megan Timothy, who had aphasia and was riding her bike across the country to spread awareness about aphasia and bring interest to her book. Quote, it's an interesting story, end quote, Benek said. Quote, we thought how fun it would be to have her and do a bike ride to bring awareness. We reached out at the time to David Hamm at Payton's Bikes, and they got on board instantly. It was really supposed to be an aphasia walk and bike ride and run, end quote. However, after getting in touch with Grissom, they were able to bring in drummer Artemis Pyle, who played with Lynyrd Skynyrd, for a concert. Quote, so we did a concert, and that's how it got started, end quote, Benek said. Quote, a few years later, we dropped the bike ride and run and walk and just kept the concert, and people have loved it, end quote. Since then, the Aphasia Center of West Texas has brought in primarily tribute bands each year. Last year, the Aphasia Center of West Texas held a Queen tribute concert. Quote, it's just been a huge success, end quote, Benek said. Quote, it's been a great fundraiser for us. It's also a great awareness raiser. Awareness is the primary purpose, but we do raise money that night too, end quote. Over the years, Benek says the awareness concerts have been primary to the Aphasia Center's purpose. Quote, if you have aphasia and have difficulty in reading, writing, and communicating, that's really hard to advocate, end quote, Benek said. Quote, this is a really important event because our sponsors enable us to offer it free to the community, so they come out and get this wonderful concert for free. It's a wonderful family event, and we educate people about aphasia and the Aphasia Center. So it's a great educational opportunity that's primary to our purpose in helping the people that we serve. It gives them a voice. This fundraiser and awareness helps them so they're no longer isolated or alone. They have this community support, end quote. Then, of course, there's the fundraising aspect. Quote, at the Aphasia Center of West Texas, we don't take any government or insurance funding, end quote, Benek said. Quote, we're completely privately funded because we want the people who receive our services to be able to come as long as they see it as a benefit. It takes money, but in West Texas, we rally around our neighbors and friends. We believe in taking care of our own. I love that. I love that pioneering spirit in West Texas, end quote. For more information about the concert or the Aphasia Center of West Texas, go to tinyurl.com/MR6D679B. Permian Basin String Quartet to perform concert next week. Next week, the Permian Basin String Quartet members will be performing their spring concert as part of the Chamber Series. The performance will take place at 3 p.m. April 23rd at the Rhea Great House Recital Hall at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. The program's pieces include Edvard Grieg's, quote, Quartet No. 1 in G Minor, Op. 27, end quote, and Judd Greenstein's, quote, Four on the Floor, end quote. This will be the String Quartet's final Chamber Series concert of the 2022-23 season. The West Texas Winds will perform their final Chamber Series concert of the season at 7:30 p.m. May 13th at Wagner Brown Auditorium at Midland College. The West Texas Symphony will be back on the stage this weekend at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center with Rachmaninoff, featuring pianist Caroline Hong. For more information about the West Texas Symphony and concert tickets, go to tinyurl.com/4PFN7H8U. Fourth annual Crawfish Boil and Bash returns to the destination. Midland. Music, fish, and eating will be on the menu at this weekend's fourth annual Crawfish Boil and Bash. The event will begin at 1 p.m. and continue throughout the evening, April 15th, at the destination, located on 1705 West Industrial Avenue in Midland. In addition to pinch, peel, and eating crawfish, there will be DJ jams, live music, a crawfish eating competition, People's Choice Awards, a live auction, and a Grammy-nominated headliner, Gino Delafos. Teams will be competing, preparing the best crawfish that will be voted on by the fans in a People's Choice category. Throughout the day, live music will be provided by Lumbee Rivers, Roasted Crow, and the Locomotives before Delafos takes the stage. For tickets and other information, go to tinyurl.com/YC3RFJD3. Spirits of the West Wine and Beef Fest returns next week. Alpine. The Spirits of the West Wine and Beef Fest will return for its second year next week. The two-day festival, which will showcase many wine and beef vendors from around the Big Bend, will be featured in downtown Alpine, April 21st and 22nd. The fest is put on by Art Walk Alpine. The event is a celebration of spirits, culture, wine, and beef from across Texas. Quote, "This is our second year doing this event," end quote, Executive Director of Art Walk Alpine, Carrie Blackman, said. Quote, "We've been putting on Art Walk, which is a huge music festival, for 30 years. A year before the pandemic, my board and I decided that we wanted to come up with something else for the year. It turned into a wine and beef festival," end quote. The festival will be held from 4 to 7 p.m. April 21st with the Spirits After Dark Party at 7 p.m. The following day's festival will take place from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. and follow with live music by Red Dirt country singer Cody Canada and his band The Departed. The festivities will take place on 6th Street in Alpine and the Granada Theater on Holland Avenue. One of the reasons why the festival was created was to showcase some of the wine producers in the Big Bend area. Quote, "There's never been a festival like this out in West Texas, and we have a lot of great producers and vineyards that have moved to Fort Davis and the higher elevation regions to grow grapes, so we thought it'd be a good idea to try to bring some awareness to that," end quote, Blackman said. Quote, "Chateau Wright is in Fort Davis, and they're our core sponsor," end quote. Blackman says this festival will be a good chance to showcase those vineyards. Quote, "It's pretty exciting," end quote, Blackman said. Quote, "You can get a $2 wristband and literally go up and down the street and try all these different vineyards and breweries. We've never done something like that out here in West Texas. It's spring. It's not too hot. It's a family-friendly event. I think a lot of people are going to be excited to attend and see what the region has to offer. It is the Big Bend region. A lot of people can come to the fest and go hiking the next day," end quote. The festival will include dozens of Texas wineries, distilleries, breweries, chefs, and artists. Quote, "One of the big things we noticed is that it's helping these smaller vineyards to come to a festival that they've never been to before and help introduce their products to people who love wine and spirits," end quote, Blackman said. Quote, "We're helping them build their brands and get the word out about them and hopefully create a splendid wine experience for everyone," end quote. The second days of the festival will include a wine tasting class with winemakers from Mission Valley Wines, hosted by Twin Peaks Liquors. After that, doors will open at the Granada Theater for Cody Canada and The Departed, with opening band Anthony Ray Wright. The music will begin at 7 p.m. Quote, "We try to use a lot of the local music because out here we have some fantastic music," end quote, Blackman said. Quote, "Anthony Ray Wright has lived here for many years, and he's kind of a Johnny Cash vibe. He's opening up for Cody Canada," end quote. Feline Fox from El Paso and Spicy Loops will be performing on Friday night. Quote, "They're a fabulous band that will get the crowd going," end quote, Blackman said. Quote, "They have a great live presence. We're happy to have them back," end quote. For more information about the event, go to spiritsfestwtx.com. Ella Noel to host Community Art Day. This weekend, the first of our of four community art days will take place at the Ellenwell Art Museum. The event is scheduled for 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. Saturday and is free and open to the public. Quote, "We're super excited for our community art day," end quote, Ellenwell Art Museum Marketing and Development Manager Savannah Woodward said. Quote, "We try to do one each season since we have four art days each year. This will be our spring one. We're super excited. Hopefully the weather is cooperative, and we're hoping to do most of our event outside if the spring weather wants to cooperate. But with a lot of community partners, we're excited. It's going to be a good day for the whole family," end quote. Saturday's art day will include plenty of art activities as well as information about upcoming art camps this summer at the museum. Quote, "We normally have some art stations that are good for children of all ages and adults, and they're all free," end quote, Woodward said. Quote, "Our whole event is free. We set up our art stations," end quote. There will also be visits from community partners such as Odessa High School's Harp Ensemble, ECISD's Early Childhood Program, and Basin PBS. Quote, "We'll also have friends of the Ector County Library who come and normally set up activities as well," end quote, Woodward said. Quote, "It's usually a good promotional opportunity for them, and we get to partner and really help the community out and offer something that is a free program. We also have the Chiaro Coffee Company out there that will be selling some treats. They're great to work with, and it helps add to our event," end quote. Currently, the Ellenwell Art Museum is at its temporary location at the Presidential Archives at the University of Texas Permian Basin, while renovation work is being done at the museum's original building. Quote, "We try to do our community art days in the garden, but because we are limited at this time," end quote, Woodward said. Quote, "The spring community art days are focused on springtime and outdoors, so we have plenty of space outdoors. It's going to be great. It's going to be a great event," end quote. For more information, go to tinyurl.com/3ZMZCBRX. Rock the Basin to benefit MCT. Midland. For its inaugural fundraiser, Midland Community Theater has borrowed the theme from its upcoming production of Rock of Ages. Later this month, MCT will be hosting a Rock the Basin fundraiser. The event will take place at 7 p.m. April 29th at the Destination in Midland. Patrons of all ages are welcome to come out for drinks, food, and plenty of 80s rock with its Back to the 80s Party theme. The event will include performances by local bands, The Locomotives, and Tall City. The event will help tie in with MCT's production of Rock of Ages, which will open that same weekend over at the theater. Rock of Ages will have shows from April 28th through May 13th. Quote, "This is the first time we're doing this fundraiser," end quote, Managing Director at Midland Community Theater Ken Olson said. Quote, "Since we're doing an 80s Rock of Ages concert, we were working with different ideas that we can come up with to collaborate in conjunction with the show. We knew that we had never done a concert-based fundraiser before, so some different ideas were thrown around with our marketing committee. It was a recommendation from an outside source to get in touch with the family that owns the Destination because they love doing things for the community. They were pretty much my next call, and they were on board right away," end quote. Rock of Ages is a jukebox musical built around classic rock songs from the 80s, especially from the famous glam metal bands of that decade. The music features songs from Styx, Journey, Bon Jovi, Pat Benatar, Twisted Sister, Steve Perry, Poison, and Europe, just to name a few. Olson is hopeful of bringing in new audience members to the Destination. Quote, "We're really excited," end quote, Olson said. Quote, "It's going to be fun to do something different with something in conjunction with the show, but still based in the community and in a different type of setting. So maybe get some new audiences at the Destination interested in what we do up here, and get our current audience interested in following the Destination type setting and what they offer the community as well," end quote. The Locomotives come from Big Spring and have partnered up with Tall City for the event. Quote, "So both bands will be there, and the Locomotives will play a little bit, and Tall City will play as well," end quote, Olson said. Quote, "Both bands are well known in the area. There's going to be a food truck available, and the Bus 22 will be providing the bar for the event. 100% of the ticket proceeds will support MCT. It's generously funded by our friends at Frost Bank," end quote. Olson says MCT is hopeful of doing future fundraisers similar to this one. Quote, I think it'd be great to do something along those lines, end quote, Olson said. Quote, now that we have this great partnership with the destination, maybe we can collaborate on future projects. I think that'd be awesome to do and a great way for MCT to get out in the community more and get the destination out in the community more as well, especially after the hit both of us have had with COVID, end quote. Tickets are available at tinyurl.com/BP65AJC7.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.